Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, and thank you guys for joining us tonight. I'm excited because we're back for part three of our conversation with Sarah Seidman Vance, and we've been talking about the HD camera and HD lighting and makeup and how they all work together. I'm so excited, so if you have questions for Sarah tonight, please send your questions to info@illusionsbeauty.com, or you can join us in the chat room. Or you can also, we have something new going on, you can also join us on BlackBerry Messenger if you're a BlackBerry user. And you can also call in. So the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399. Thank you again, Sarah, for joining us this week.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
This seems like a topic that just never goes away, and I know it's
going to
be around for a long, 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 long time.
Oh, and it's going to get harder.
So, before we jump into our questions, I know my sister has some things she wants to say, but I just also want to say thank you to all of our followers here on Blog Talk Radio, our followers on Facebook and MySpace and Twitter. So thank you all for your support. If it wasn't for you, we really wouldn't have a reason to do this. So thank you very, very much. And I'm going to turn it over to Denise.
Okay, and I'm going to try to do this and keep up with the BBM group.
Okay.
So I have just a little bit of beauty news for tonight. I want to start with OCC. They seem to be all over the place here lately. OCC is launching their line at Cinema Secrets out in North Hollywood. And they're having their first airbrush workshop actually today. It was from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And also, OCC is having an airbrush makeup 101 class on the 14th, this Saturday, and Sunday the 15th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday's class will be presented by Orlando Santiago, and on Sunday the class will be presented by Lasagna Gunter. And for those of you who follow me on Twitter, know that I just purchased the beautiful BlackBerry Torch, which is BlackBerry's new touchscreen with the slider keyboard. I mean, the phone is just fabulous, but it's going to take me a minute to get used to it. So, but the lovely Jennifer James brought up to my attention that there were a few people who were interested in following the show via BBM. And I actually thought about this idea a couple of days ago, but I wanted to wait until I got the new phone before I started with all of that. So if you're interested in joining us in the chat room on BBM, you can email us your PIN number at info@illusionsbeauty.com, or you can just hit us up on Twitter, send us a direct message or an at reply, and just let us know that you're interested in the BBM group, and we'll get your we'll get your PIN number that way, and we'll just add you to the group. So I'm going to do all that I can to pay attention to the chat room. I know I'm going to have Jennifer's help with that, but also just to be in the BBM lounge and chatting there and paying attention to the conversation at the same time. It's going to be a little tricky, but I'm going to try to work that out. Next week we're going to be joined by the lovely Lashes by Toya. She's one of the hardest working lash professionals that I know, so you can follow her on Twitter at Lashes by Toya. And she's going to join us next week for next week's Beauty Talk. Last but not least, the Beauty Talk web series is coming soon. I know we keep saying it's coming soon, but the first episode will air Monday, August 30th, so look for that. Just start looking for them to air on Mondays, and we're going to start with episode number one, and that's going to run for maybe like 2 weeks before we put the second episode out. So we're just encouraging everyone to go out, continue to check out the sizzle. We're trying to get 1,000-plus views before the 30th. So if you can help us out with that, we'd greatly appreciate it. And that's all I have. And I'll put the link out in both chat rooms for Beauty Talk the Sizzle.
Oh, and just one more thing about Beauty Talk the web series. You'll be able to get that on our Facebook group page called Beauty Talk the web series, as well as on our YouTube page. And you'll be able to see the web series on both of those pages until the actual web channel is out there.
I signed up.
Yay!
Yay. Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that, Sarah. I really do. Thank you. So let's get to Sarah because we have a lot to talk about. If I ask questions, Sarah, that I asked last week, just act like you don't even know it and keep moving.
That's all right. I'm 50, okay. And some of the things are gone, so.
Okay. Okay, cool. There's a lot of questions because, you know, a lot of things that you talk about, especially when we have Suzanne on. And let me just say, Suzanne was supposed to be here. Suzanne Patterson, who comes on every other Thursday, couldn't be with us tonight. So we expect to, I guess, hear from her. I don't know if she'll come next week or if she'll continue with every other week. But we look forward to having her back on the show.
Yeah, she's in the middle of teaching a class.
Okay. And normally when Suzanne is on, like when she leaves, you know, off the air and when the show is over, like we're left thinking about a lot of the things that she said or, you know, we find ourselves talking about it. In conversations, like we'll be talking about something that's related to makeup, and we'll say, yeah, because just like Suzanne said, you know, whatever it was. So that's what I found myself doing with a lot of the information that you've been sharing with us. And like I was saying in the beginning of this show, tonight it's a topic that's not going anywhere, and you said it's going to get even harder.
Well, as they're developing things, the cameras are getting even sharper and sharper. What we use at CBN, we're using Sony's that are 1,000 pixels per line, but the RED camera, which I've worked with just recently, is 4,000 pixels per line, and they're going to get even worse to where you can see a gnat sitting on a freckle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's that sharp.
Wow. Well, speaking of that, because that was one of my questions I wanted to ask is if you could speak on the differences between some of the most popular HD cameras. I know that there may be a few of them out there that are being used a lot, and I've heard you and Suzanne mention these Sony cameras often. You know, so I know Sony is one. Is there another particular brand or camera that's being used a lot?
There's all sorts of cameras that are coming out, but Sony is the top dog right now. But Olympus has come out with a consumer HD camera that they are advertising that's under $700 that the average person could get and shoot their own stuff. Now, the lenses for it, they're expensive, but if you're just doing a basic shoot, you can buy this camera yourself, and it's going to give you that same HD quality. But right now, Sony's the big guy, and Sony's also got the software that is actually kind of cool. When you're working in live broadcast, there is a program that's in the camera and is connected to your videographer that they can actually isolate the face, and if it's an older woman or older man, take the detail out, just soften it slightly without taking any of the detail around the camera out, meaning everything surrounding the person's face will stay sharp, including their clothes. It seeks out the skin texture. It's the coolest thing.
Right.
And I've seen this work. So So there are some things to help us out, because the older women, that was the first thing all the older stars complained bitterly and said, then I'm not going to go in front of that camera unless there's a way to fix this. So Sony developed the software to do that. And right now Sony's the big guy, but everybody else is trying. All of the we look at Panasonic, any of the big guys that have done all the film work all these years, they're all in the race trying to develop the next HD camera. So you're going to see, in the next couple of years, you're going to see a lot more variety out there. But so far, Sony's kind of got it not completely sewed up, but pretty well sewed up, because most of the, especially live broadcast companies, are using the Sonys.
Gotcha. Let me just say one thing before we move forward. I see that we have a caller out there, and we'll get to you in a few seconds, caller, so please don't hang up. I also see that we have a couple of people who are listening via phone, and I'd just like to ask that if you can listen on your computer, I would appreciate that.
The chat room. Some of them lost their sound in their computers.
Okay, that's fine. I was going to say, if you can't, that's fine. I just appreciate you listening. But the reason why I say that is because after a while, if a lot of the lines get tied up, if there's someone there who actually does want to call in and say something, a lot of times when the lines are full, we can't get them in.
Right.
But if you can't, if you lose your sound or whatever in the chat room, that's fine. I don't have a problem with you listening. Let's just take this call really quick now and get back to the conversation. Hi, caller. How are you? Okay. Hello. Okay. Maybe they don't want to talk. Okay. That's cool. All right.
I was like, goodbye.
No, they're still on. They're still hanging on. I just have a hand up like they want to talk. So, but I guess maybe they don't. That's fine. Okay, so we'll continue the conversation. So, Sony, pretty much for the most part, has it locked up right now. Is there anything different about this Sony camera from some of the others?
Only that they were the first, really, to be honest, they just were first in the race. Excuse me. And that happens. I mean, when we first went into digital cameras, it was Kodak, and then Sony came out with theirs, and then Olympus came out with theirs, and excuse me. Just Sony's one of those people that the Japanese are very keen on keeping everything up to date and getting the next latest and greatest.
Okay. Sarah, what about the Red camera?
Oh, it's a really nice camera, but it's so expensive right now. You see, like, we've used it a couple of times, but even to rent it, it's very expensive. But that's going to be one that's going to be coming up, and you're going to also see more use of it.
Okay.
Because as more people want to use it, then the price goes down, supply and demand.
Oh, yeah.
But that camera is phenomenal. The first time I worked with it was doing the One campaign. Do you remember those? They didn't do it very long, but it was where they had two opposing right-wing and left-wing people sitting on a couch. We did one with Pat Robertson and Al Sharpton, and it was Al Gore's big campaign about the environment. Anyway, we used the Red camera, but we shot it in black and white.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had to be on my toes big time with that camera, because even as far away as they were shooting, you could see the detail.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because the makeup artist that had done Al Sharpton versus what I did, because I had already been working with high-def cameras with Pat Robertson because of the 700 Club, where the makeup artist they had hired from Northern Virginia had not done that, and you could actually, even with the Red camera, you could see the difference in the makeup.
Yeah.
But
wow.
That's a heavy duty camera.
Up everything.
Oh my gosh, the sand that was blowing around, everybody thought they had dandruff on their coats, and it wasn't. It was sand because they decided to shoot this in the middle of a beach with a couch. It was very interesting. I think on my website I may have a couple of pictures from that shoot. If it's not there, I know it's definitely on my Facebook. But
tell us your website really quick while you're mentioning it.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Can you tell us your website, since you just mentioned it?
Oh, my website is Sarah, S-A-R-A, Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, Vance, V-A-N-C-E, .com. All one word, SarahSeidmanVance.com. Really easy.
Yes, it is.
No H on Sarah. Somebody keeps putting an H on my name.
I made that mistake.
You're allowed.
Okay, thank you.
And it's the same as my Facebook, too. It's Sarah Seidman Vance.
Oh,
and
okay.
You can't make a mistake. I'm the only one in the whole world. I found that out when I typed my name into Facebook from somebody else's computer. Mine is the absolute only one that comes up. There is no other one in the entire world.
Wow. That's on
See, they
Facebook
broke the mold.
Anyway.
Pardon?
That's on Facebook anyway.
Yes.
Did you be
surprised? I like to think I am the only one.
Exactly. You put your name in on some of these sites, you're like, no way this could be taken. No way. You know what I mean? And it's like, somebody else has it. Somebody else has it. All right, one of the questions I had, Sarah.
Sure.
What are the basics that every makeup artist should know about HD lighting and HD makeup?
Okay. As far as lighting is concerned, HD lighting and the lighting for HD is quite similar to the 35 millimeter or above film. Because, you know, when you're working in 35 millimeter or up into 70 millimeter film, you're in detail. So when we're doing live broadcasts, for instance, our set is set at 32 Kelvin. The sun is 56, so that gives you an idea. It's not quite below half. It's like a third below what the sun is puts out on a regular sunny day. And the reason for that, keeping it lower and not as bright, is because the cameras are so sensitive that you only have to barely open the lens aperture to let light in. You don't have to open it as full as you would for a regular old, you know, digital camera or used to be, which nobody uses hardly anymore, although some poor countries do, but the analog cameras, where you have to have it brighter because you couldn't adjust them as well as you can the digital. And the high def, which is, you know, high definition is digital. Hello?
Mm-hmm. We're here. We're listening.
Oh, it got quiet all of a sudden. I was like, uh-oh, am I gone?
No, we're listening.
Yeah, okay. So, when I'm teaching, especially when I'm teaching the lighting class, the big thing I teach, besides telling, you know, what I just did, is that I'm also getting everybody familiar with the lighting equipment to understand what's used. And, I mean, there's lots and lots of different lighting lamps and equipment that is used, but there are a handful that are used. Everybody uses them. And I get everybody familiar with them, familiar with their intensity of light, what's the difference between a key light and fill light, and how all of that plays out when you're doing high definition. Because you have to be a little bit more careful when you're doing the lighting. Because it's so precise, it will see if you have overlaps that aren't blended well. Meaning if there's two lights that are shining in one area and they're crisscrossing each other, if there's not enough fill light to cut down that crisscross, it will create funny shadows, and you won't have a really nice look, you know, painted with the light on people's faces. So, with that in mind, knowing what the temperature is one thing. However, the other, and I'm one of the guests, by the way, 4258's me. Somebody just put
okay.
When they're using gels, when they're using color, that's where color theory comes in, which I'm finding a lot of makeup artists don't have it, and they don't know the difference between pigment color and lighting color because they're different. Lighting primary colors are red, blue, and green. Pigment are red, blue, and yellow. But knowing the lighting primary colors and secondary colors will help you make your adjustments for your primary and secondary colors of pigment or your makeup colors. For instance, if you're working in firelight, which means you know, they've set up a whole lighting thing where there's reflective light and it's flickering on the face to look like it's a fire, like you're at a campsite. Mm-hmm. If they don't use lights that are what I call key lights, where everybody's lit with something that's more white light, and they're lit with a fire light, which is that orange and that red, you might as well give up trying to touch up anything, because you've got the orange and red, and it's knocking out everything. You've got, you know, the orange and red's knocking out, it's knocking out your blues, it's knocking out your yellows, it's knocking out your greens. Everybody's going to look orange anyway. The only time it's not going to be is if they have the fire light from the neck down and they have key lights on their faces from the neck up. Then that's when you have to be really aware of your makeup. But other than that, nobody's going to see it, because all of that reds and oranges and the yellows cancel out everything that's on the face. You won't be able to see any real detail. If they're shooting for evening, or a lot of blue light, again, you're going to see blue's going to cancel out your reds, your yellows, and you're going to be left with just a blue haze on everything. So it's those kinds of things. If people don't understand what the gels are doing to the light that's reflecting onto the skin, then they can't correct for it when they're having to do their work. Also, though, sometimes you can't even correct. It's not even worth it, because you're walking from one scene to the other. But understand that if you see a person under that blue light, nightclub light or whatever, and then they're walking into a well-lit situation, you want to do the makeup for the well-lit situation, because it's not going to matter in the nightclub situation where the lights are blue, or all of a sudden they're red or green, because everything's going to change and there's no way that you can keep track of all of that as they're walking through a scene. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But if they don't understand this, if they don't have their color theory, understanding the differences between primary pigment and secondary pigment, primary lighting and secondary lighting color, they're not going to be able to correct what they need to correct when it comes time. I've also found a lot of makeup artists are having issues being able to do their makeup in one lighting situation and then walk them into the set and nothing looks the same. What I try to teach in my classes is so they can recognize what it's going to look like when they walk into the lighting situation that they're going to be filmed in. By walking onto the set, see how it's being lit, see if what kind of instruments they're using, how much fill light, is there key lights? That's going to be specific to that particular talent, so you can see if it's going to be lighter where they're standing and then a darker shade around them. That all of those things make differences on what your makeup's going to look like when that person walks in front of the camera. And if you're stuck in a area that's either one single incandescent bulb or one light bulb in the ceiling, that's poor lighting, but you have to learn and start training your brain, because it really is your brain that's seeing this and then transferring all this to your visual part of your brain. Train it to understand what you're going to see when you take that person out there. It's like, it's weird. It's like having a visual memory so that when you do the makeup in a poor lit situation that you can still walk that person out and they're going to look right when they go into the correct lit situation. Am I making sense, or am I just making you guys have more and more questions?
You're making sense, but you're giving us something to think about.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah. We need to be thinking about it.
It's just a matter of processing it all.
Well, I mean, think about how many times you've walked on a set and, you know, let's say you're doing big crowd scenes. So you've got 6-7 makeup artists that are all standing around, you know, which they're paying us and we're fine with that, but because it's always good money on a big film set. But you'll hear somebody go, oh, lighting ruined my makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily.
Right.
Not necessarily. Did you know what you were walking into? Did you know what the scene was? When you work on episodic television, you start to get to know how they're going to light things.
Exactly.
You know, like what, for instance, being on Dawson's Creek, because that was, we had all these sets that we always used. We always used the school sets. I knew how it was going to be lit interior. I knew how it was going to be lit exterior. Joey's house, Jen's house, Dawson's house, all the locations that we use continuously, there was always a familiarity on how they were going to light it. Yes, sometimes there's variations. You know, if you're doing a nighttime scene and if it's a party outside, then, of course, the light's going to change. But once you start working on things like that, you start to see and understand how the DP is going to light it. And so you have an idea in your head already what that makeup's going to look like when they walk out. But that's not always, you don't always get that ideal situation.
Exactly.
Especially if you're working commercials where it's not predictable. So you're just, it has to become learned. One of the things I like to do is to put makeup artists in a poorly lit situation, have them do the makeup, then walk them in front of the camera and in the lights, and have them look at the face and see what they've done. 9 times out of 10, they will have missed something, and I'll point it out, but then I'll walk them back into the poorly lit situation and say, look at their face. Look now, after you know what they look like in that situation, do you still see that place that should have been, maybe it should have been a correction, or there should have been something that had been highlighted because the face looked too one color with no levels to it, and it's still there. So it's training your eye to see the problems no matter what lighting situation you're put in, that you're going to know how to fix it. If you see those bags under their eyes, if you see the blemishes on their face, you see that there's discoloration, that you're going to have to balance out the color. Even in poor light, those issues are still there. It's just more prominent when you walk them into the better lit situation.
Right. Now, Sarah, going back to, you were just speaking about Dawson's Creek. It's kind of related to one of the questions I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
I wanted you to talk a little bit about where you work now and the type of show that you work on. And compare that to, you know, your episodics or your, you know, your television dramas, your comedies, you know, the HD makeup that you do on the, you know, the drama and comedy stuff.
Right.
Compared to what you do now.
Okay. Well, and also, too, the situations were all different. With Dawson's Creek, we were shooting in 16 millimeter and then transferring it to video.
Gotcha.
So we got away with a lot. The makeup was heavier. We were taking 21, 22-year-olds and making them look 15 and 16. A lot of beard block. And then we did have 17, 18-year-olds. We're doing a lot of blemish cover. So with that, the makeup was heavier, and we were able to get away with more because it was 16-millimeter film. 16-millimeter is a much grainier film, so it doesn't have as sharp a detail as if it were a regular feature film, which is usually 35 to 70 millimeters. Now, where I am now, I work live broadcast, meaning they walk out there, that's what you get.
So
I have no chance to do take two and fix.
Right.
I take that back. There, I can fix small things, but not big things. Like if a hair is out of place, I can run in at the commercial and put hairspray on my hand and wipe it on the head and get that loose hair out. Or if, for instance, one of my talents starts tearing up at the commercial, I can run, blot a little bit, add a little bit of powder, but I've got literally 30 seconds to do this in.
So pretty much like television news or like talk show.
Yeah, well, because that's what it is. 700 Club is a Christian talk show.
Okay.
That's really what it is, but it's live broadcast. It's not live to tape. It's
right.
Live broadcast. So there's no way that it can be fixed in post. There's other shows that are shot live to broadcast, which means they can go back in post and fix things, especially with episodic, high-definition episodics, you know, like The Big Bang Theory and all those other shows. They're shot in front of a live audience, but if they make a mistake, they get to redo it.
Right.
And if something happens, they get to fix it and redo it. So there's a little bit more leeway in those live tape versus live broadcast where that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to get it right the first time. So the upside is that generally the lights are the same. The only time they change is if we get a new set. And then when that happens, I'm blessed that I have a lighting designer and director and producers that always let me know so that I can go out there when they've just finished doing the lighting packages to the new sets to see what it looks like, so I know what I'm going to get. that doesn't, that you don't always have that. You don't always have that kind of relationship, but that's the kind of relationship you do want to build when you do work in this kind of environment. You want to build a relationship, one with the videographer or the colorist. This is the person that controls that software, the Sony software that isolates the face and also sets the colors and adjusts them for the cameras in the control room. And then your lighting designer that does all the lights. You want to make, you know, friends with them because they're the ones that are going to set up everything to help your talent. I have a talent that has very beautiful, deep-set eyes, but also has crepiness under the eyes. And I like to have her have light coming from underneath as well as flat on and from above, because then it fuses that all out. It makes it disappear with the highlight that I've put under her eyes and what the lighting designer's done to help me. It makes her look younger, and it makes that look invisible. So, and that's possible because I've created a relationship with that lighting designer and said, look, this is the kind of problem I've got here. What can you do to help me here? This is what I've done for you. I've given you this color correction under here to color correct for the discoloration from one age to sinus. And then also I've given you the highlight where I need it so that the bags don't look as defined with putting light in the deep area and then a little darker on the areas that poke out so that it makes the camera appear, or the camera sees it as a flat surface versus one that is bulging out with bags under the eyes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm over here touching my face and showing you, and I'm realizing they can't see what I'm doing. Because I talk with my hands, so I'm sitting here pointing on my face and going, Sarah, you're doing radio ding dong.
I'm over here touching my face and hoping that I'm not getting it on my new phone when I chat in the BB chat room, because I actually took your challenge and I have all this cream makeup on and I didn't set it with any powder, so I'm like,
oh, now did anybody take pictures and send them in?
Well, no one's done that. I haven't show the pictures or anything because I haven't figured out what I'm going to do for mascara. Since we can't use mascara, I wanted to use actually some liquid airbrush makeup, but like a black.
Well, you could if that was with your palette.
But it's not with my palette. So that's why I can't figure out.
The only thing that would work, because I have in my Gerda Spillman, it's called Raven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very deep, dark brown. I've actually only had one man that I used it on, and he was from Africa, and it was gorgeous. Oh, my God, this man was gorgeous. He really didn't need a lot, but he was this just deep, 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 dark brown. It's almost black. And it's in the Gerda Spillman line, and that you could use as to color, you know, to put on your fingers, actually, and then just paint them on your lashes going up.
Yeah.
That's not my doorbell. That's my cell phone. Let me turn that off. That's my Facebook on my phone. There we go. Turn that off. Sorry.
I mean, just based on the things that you just spoke about, I mean,
mm-hmm.
there are so many things, like I'm learning now, there are so many things that I just did not realize we really need to do. I mean, like even just the things that you mentioned about live broadcast and like things that you can go back and fix and post, but there's some things, you know, you can't fix. I guess it's important to stress that when working in HD, we need to kind of make sure we get it the very first time.
Exactly. And that's, I can't stress that enough. I also can't stress enough that we can't be, and I don't want this to sound insulting, but we can't be dumb anymore and just do makeup. For too long, we've been called fluff and puff, which I absolutely hate that. Mm-hmm. If we're good at what we do, we're smart. We're not dumb, and we're treated like we're dumb. But we need to stay up and current with what's going on. There's a couple of magazines that I get, and, of course, other makeup artists at work look at me and go, oh, my gosh, you're Miss Gadget Girl. I said, yeah, but at least I know what's coming. There's a HD Video Pro. excellent magazine, and it covers all of the new cameras. And of course, right on the cover right now is a Sony camera, and the other one is Movie Maker, and they have moviemaker.com. These are two magazines that are keeping track of everything that's going on right now and as it's coming out, and they're vital. Not just our makeup books or our makeup magazines, you know, like Makeup Artist Magazine and all, and Allure and Vogue and Essence and everything that's come out that talks about beauty stuff. Those are good, but what we need to do is also learn the technical end of it. That's the only way we're going to stay up and stay current and stay, what's the word I want? I've already used current, but there's another word, but it's so that we don't become obsolete, because that can happen if we're not careful. If we're not careful, we'll fall into that trap of, I did it like this then. Well, that's not going to work now.
Right.
Anything that we did in the 80s will not work now. It's not going to happen. You have to get away from the paint-by-number eyes and the slapped-on cheeks. And if you understand what I mean, you know what I mean. You've seen them where the red is so red on the cheeks, you're like, oh, dear Lord. And the eyes, you can see every single color that was put on there, that they used every single one that was in that palette that had the four colors that labeled to tell you
right.
where they were supposed to go.
Right.
We can't do that. The only reason that would work is if they're supposed to look like they're from the 80s. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If we're doing a period film, yes, they got to look like those things that were big in the 80s or the 70s, however the makeup was. But I'm talking modern. With modern stuff, we want people to look as natural as possible, but still look good.
Right.
We got to stay current. Get those magazines, Movie Maker magazines, also moviemaker.com, and HD Video Pro. HD Video Pro is really good because it has all the articles of all the new cameras that are coming in, and they also talk about the new lighting stuff, because LED, although it's not there yet, LED lighting, they're trying to make the new thing. It's still got too much of a fluorescent look to me. They haven't quite mastered the colors yet, but it'll be here soon. And that's going to be a whole nother deal, because it looks different than regular incandescent or halogen or tungsten lighting.
Wow.
These are, you know, yeah.
And I've seen a Movie Maker in Barnes and Noble Borders, but you can find the HD Video Pro in like a Barnes and Noble and Borders also.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think you
can. And they also have HDVideoPro.com. They have a website. Yep, HDVideoPro.com. I just saw it at the bottom of my magazine.
And Movie Maker.
Yeah, and MovieMaker.com. Yeah, so the HD Video Pro, there you go. They're excellent, and they're current, and they're not written too far out that you can't quite understand it. But that's the other thing. Start learning the terms. It's why I'm teaching that lighting class. I want people to know what a LICO is, which is also an ellipsoidal. I want to know what an HMI is, what a PARCAM is, what a Fresnel is, what kind of lenses are in these lighting instruments, the reflectors that are in them, and what their intensities are. I want them to understand, you know, what a key light is, what a fill light is, what, you know, front light, side light, back light, top light, a redhead, all these terms. So then we're standing on the set, they know exactly what's going on. And when they go to talk to their lighting designer or their director of photography, they know the terms, they know the lights, they understand the equipment, and they can talk intelligently to that DP and say, hey, can you give me a little bit of bounce here, because I've got this problem here with her eyes. And you know, and he'll know what you're talking about, and you know what you're talking about. Or you can say, hey, is there any way that we can come a little flatter with that key light so that we can kind of even out her, you know, the skin? It's to understand what's going on around us, not just what we do. That's important. But we have to understand what's going on around us so that we can do our job even better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so, Sarah, when just for people who may be thinking about taking your class, or people who have taken your class, I'm sure they can attest to this, that you know, once they hear this terminology, you know, they're not going to be able to comprehend all of this just in the class, but it's
going to be a matter of,
you know, buying the magazines and going online and hearing it over and over again.
Somebody put in here suggestions on a good lighting book that starts with the basics. Problem is, there's a lot of people that have written all sorts of different books, but nothing that's, and that's something I'm working on right now, but nothing that completely addresses what we do exactly. There are books out there that are touching on it, and they give you examples, but they don't go in-depth enough. Then the ones that go in-depth, there's too much information that would be too hard for you to weed out.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I developed the class, because I've taken the knowledge I know, because I've done lighting. I worked on a lighting cruise and, you know, in grids and everything else when I was younger. And I've taken the knowledge I have, but I've simplified it to apply to exactly what we need as makeup artists. So I'm working on trying to make this class more mobile. Right now I'm doing it, you know, with Suzanne up in D.C., and I'm actually going out this next month to go look up equipment that is small enough for me to be able to take, so that I can take this class to different areas, so that it will be available to everybody, because I think it's an important class to have. In it, I give you a booklet that's got the photographs of all the lighting instruments and then space next to it for you to write the notes that I give you, so that you know what it is, you know what it looks like, and give the terminology so that you have it.
Right.
As far as the class again, Suzanne and I are now working on when I will do the class again, because we just did it, and she's looking at February. I'd like to do it a little earlier than that, but I'll have to talk to her about it. It depends on what she's already got scheduled and with other classes that are going on at her studio, because she has the moulage classes as well as the HD MU classes. So I'm working on getting it earlier.
Speaking of books, I'm holding in my hand a book called Film Lighting. I think it was first in print back, copyright 1986. So it was very.
Ooh, hello.
Yeah.
There's the Jersey hairdo.
Right.
Where it's just the bangs in the front and then that big piece of wall right up at the top.
But it seems to have some basic things in here, and I remember getting it at the Makeup Artist Trade Show years ago. When I say years, it was over 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And even back then, they were talking about the HD camera.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I remember also sitting in a session with two makeup artists, and I cannot remember what show they did. But they did a show where they were already working with an HD camera. I was going to say, I just want the listeners to know that this is not anything new. We have to know and realize that it's here, to stay, and just like Sarah said, we have to make sure we understand what's happening. And we must understand or learn what we need to know so that we can be around. Like, just like you said, we don't want to be obsolete. And if we're going to call ourselves a makeup artist, we have to know more than just basic beauty. We have to know, you know, well, and I'll put it this way. If you want to work in various areas of makeup, we need to know certain things, and we really need to pay attention to this. And I wanted to ask you, Sarah, because, like I said, years ago, I sat in on a class with this cinematographer, and he talked about lighting. And then I also sat in a session with two makeup artists who were already working on a show that was on HD, where they were working with HD cameras. And one of the things that I remember, you know, because today we have all of this HD makeup. Everybody has an HD foundation. You know, this is
which is actually kind of funny if you think about it, but go on. I'll comment to that in a minute.
Exactly. And but back then, these two women were talking, and they were going to write a book, like a little small book about it. I don't know if they ever did, but they spoke about the different makeups just out of your kit. You know, let's put ourselves back in, I don't know, 19, or let's just say early 2000, like 2001 or something like that, when there wasn't any makeup, you know, like Makeup Up Forever and Smashbox and all these different people have the HD, you know, these HD products. Those brands weren't creating HD products. So we just had our basic that we've always had. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how to use the basics. Wasn't even thinking about an HD anything. How to use your basic makeup on, you know, while using these HD cameras. So yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the makeup and what we need? Let's forget about all this HD makeup. Just your basic makeup that we already had before this HD stuff came out.
Say on that, too, they put HD in front of a lot of stuff that won't even work on HD.
Exactly.
MAC has a powder that looks horrible on HD. They call it their HD powder. Their is it Studio Fix set or HD? Oh, I forget what the name of it is. Everybody changes it.
Is it the Mineralize?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one goes right into the creases. It's horrible.
Uh-huh.
It's not, so that's the thing. I don't care if it says HD on it. Like, I've been using the Gerdes Filmon for 20 years. I started using it with film because I was, you know, doing 35mm film. I was already working towards that end. When you're working in film, it's very different, not 16, but 35mm and 70mm film. The detail is there, plain and simple. So we were already working towards that when they were whispering about these HD cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Gerda doesn't have anything that says HD on it. They've never changed their name. Neither does Graftopia now has something that says high definition. But the thing is, it's in how you use your makeup. Yes, there are a couple of lines that just don't work on HD, like the Blascos, their corrector colors and stuff just look gray on HD because of how the camera pulls the colors. I don't have anything Blasco anymore at all. It's all gone. But and not to insult Blasco, it just doesn't work. At least in the situations I've been in as of late with the cameras that I use, I've not been able to use it. So forget the HD in front of it. I don't care if it's got HD in front of it. Makeup Forever's got HD in front of it. All of these makeups have HD in front of it. But if they're not applied well and the colors aren't correct, they're not going to work. You've got to know how the camera works. We talked about this before. The HD cameras pull reds. You don't want a makeup that's got a lot of red in it or it's going to look horrible. Some of the MAC foundations for the ethnic colors are too orange to me. They drive me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And their Caucasian colors are sometimes too yellow. And you can see it, especially in HD. It really just grabs those, and they don't work for me. If you mix them with something else, fine. You can use them. I have no problem doing that. And sometimes I've done that where I have used a MAC base, and then I've put a different powder over top of it, or I've added another base with it in order to kind of cancel out whatever odd color it has, but still, you know, it'll still work. It's all in how you apply it, and it's all in how the camera's going to see it. I don't care if it says HD in front of it. It's not necessarily HD.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Let me ask you, I have a friend who does a show. They're shooting it in HD. He's like a medium brown skin, and they're using the Makeup Forever HD foundation on him. And I often tell him that it looks as if the makeup is a little, it's making his whole skin just kind of dull, and it looks a little like light or ashy.
Yeah, then he's got the wrong color on.
Well, I was thinking that he had the wrong color. But I was wondering, because what we did was we went to the store, we went shopping, looking at makeup, and he actually pointed out the brand to me that they're using. So I tried on the color,
mm-hmm.
the different colors, and we found an exact match for him. But it still... And he verified that was the actual color that they were using, but it just looks dull, at times it looks okay, and then there's times when you can see where it's obviously wrong. And I was just trying to figure out, besides it being the wrong color, is there anything else you can think of?
I wonder if are they setting it with some type of powder?
See, that's the thing I was going to ask. If you're matching the color of somebody, you've got to make sure, if you're using a translucent powder, you got to be real careful, because if it's too much lighter, sometimes what I will do, and I don't do this all the time, but sometimes if, you know, and I'll mix the color to it's exact, but sometimes I'll go a little bit darker than their own color because I know the powder's going to pull it lighter, so that then I have a solid match. But
I'm sorry, you're going darker on the base.
Because I know the powder's going to lighten it.
The translucent powder, okay.
Yep, and some of those translucent powders will make the color look lighter.
Yeah.
But it all depends. There are some that you can get that are really, really nice and thin, and you put them on, and the color doesn't change hardly at all. So it's got to be what they're using as setting. Also, here's the other thing. When you were going to match this color, what was the lighting like in the building that you were doing it?
Mm-hmm.
What was the lighting? Was it fluorescent or was it incandescent lighting where you went shopping?
Heck, if it was Sephora, it was no lighting.
Exactly.
Well, we went shopping in Sephora.
Okay. Next time you do something like that, take it, because they always have samples. Put it on the underside of the arm. So pick a couple colors, then walk out into, because usually the malls or whatever are lit, or if you can go outside.
Yeah.
Go outside and then look at it under the sunlight or in the mall light, because the mall light's usually lit. They usually use daylight bulbs out in the mall because they want people to be awake. Malls are lit very brightly on purpose. That's to keep people thinking that, you know, it's like Vegas, where they want everybody, you know, the way they light it so you don't know whether it's day or night and there's no windows, you know. But the mall's always very, very brightly lit in the main part of the mall. So put it on the inside of the arm and walk outside of that store, because you can't take the makeup outside the store, but you can take your arm outside the store and go and check it that way. You want to see it in both lighting, because you might, when you walk it out there, you're going to see it's a totally different color.
Right. And that's the thing, I wanted to see it outside, but by the time we, you know, got there and looked at the different brands and stuff, it was already dark outside, so I couldn't see him outside.
Right.
I don't remember what, because I was looking at it after we got out of Sephora, but I can't remember what my thoughts were about it when we were walking in the mall.
Right.
But I did say to him recently that I think it's the powder.
And more than likely, that's the culprit, because if they're worth their salt, they've matched him nicely if they know what they're doing.
Right.
But if they didn't pay attention after they matched him and then put that powder on and then really looked at it in the mirror, that's the other thing. Use those mirrors. They're not there for just you to put your own lipstick on. I have a lot of makeup artists that don't use those mirrors. Those mirrors, when you look at them, is what the camera's going to see. Because when you look head-on at somebody, there's things you're going to miss. You'll miss that you maybe have made that lipstick crooked until you turn around and look in that mirror. Then you'll see that it's not straight.
Right.
And those mirrors are important in that, you know, they're probably not, and I'm just assuming, I could be very wrong, or it could be something with the lighting, but more than likely it's the powder, and they have not double-checked it before they went out.
Hmm.
And there are some makeup artists that do that. They'll just put the makeup on and go, they're fine, and let them go out the door and not even go look.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been on sets where we've had makeup artists that sit in the trailer and never come to the set.
Right.
We've all seen that, you know, they're there. I'm not one of those. I have to be with my work. If I'm sending them out there, who I am is represented on their faces.
Right.
And that, to me, it's important. If I'm going to do this job, then I'm going to do it to my utmost best. I'm not a makeup artist that's going to sit in the trailer and just kind of let them go and say they'll be fine. And that does happen. That happens a lot. You'll see that in broadcast TV, where they'll get them ready and then poof, that's it. Okay. They're fine. They don't even watch the work on the camera to see what's going on.
Right.
I stay on top of it. Because I have to. It's my work out there.
Right. Absolutely.
That's right. Oh, my goodness, Sarah. We have, like, 5 minutes left in the show.
Oh, gosh, it goes so quick.
I know. And we, I mean, tonight's show was awesome. Just so, I'm like, as I'm listening to you, I'm taking notes. because I just find this topic to be very important. I hear everything that you're saying about, you know, what we need to be doing. And I just think that we're probably going to have you down the road. Every once in the blue moon, just pop in and
just give me a holler when you want me.
Yes, because, I mean, this topic we could just go on and on and on and on.
How about if there's ever a time that Suzanne can't make it? And you can
just give me a holler, darling. If I'm available, you know, I've got, like I said, Facebook and Twitter on my phone. So I'm not far from either one of them, which is how I knew about the beauty web casting and why I signed up where it said like. I mean, as soon as it came up, I went, oh, click, okay. And I do have Wi-Fi. I don't have the CrackBerry, but I do have my little Palm, and I'm happy with it.
Well, great. As long as you're happy with it and you're using it, hey.
I do, to its fullest. Ladies, whenever you want me, just give me a holler. I'll be there.
Oh, great.
Thank you so much. And we do appreciate that. And I'm going to start checking out that HD Video Pro magazine.
Yeah, do. Because I'm not kidding. It has everything in here. It even talks about 3D. They cover 3D. That's important. That's extremely important. Even my IOTSI magazine came out with a whole thing on 3D this month.
Yes, and that seems like it's more than just your sci-fi or animated type. Almost everything is coming out in 3D.
Uh-huh. You want to talk about looking at them really close? Hello, they'll be sitting in your lap.
Right.
So, and that's going to make it even more. Forget the red camera. Once it's 3D everything, and the TVs now, they have the 3D TVs, so you can have it at home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Makeup artists that want to do film and television, pay attention, and keep up. That's all I can say. Because I plan to pay attention and keep up and study. Because it's not going anywhere, and this is the future. So we have to get on it.
Yes, ma'am.
We have to get on it. So thank you again, Sarah, for joining us. We won't ever make you sing again. Don't worry about that.
Well, if you want to hear me sing, just go to my Facebook. It's up there in my video thing from when I was singing at church.
Okay, so we'll check you out on Facebook.
I'm singing the Lord's Prayer.
On your Facebook page?
Yeah. If you go to my Facebook page in the video, I'm singing the Lord's Prayer.
Ooh.
I'm singing it operatic, which is how I was trained. Then I'm singing regular, there's another one where I'm singing regular pray stuff, and Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. That's up there, too.
Well, we're going to check you out. But thanks to all the listeners, to everyone who called in by phone to listen, and those in the chat room and the BBM chat that we have going on. Thank you all so very much. Look out for Beauty Talk, the web series. Keep supporting Beauty Talk, the online radio show. Mark it as a favorite if you really enjoyed it. Tell your friends about it. Post a comment on our profile page and all that good stuff. Don't forget the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Comments, questions, or anything to info@illusionsbeauty.com. Thank you guys very much, and have a wonderful and blessed night. Good night.
Good night. Be blessed.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.